Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
Thank you, Jeremy, for the prelude. Good morning. Welcome to those on radio WPHM or perhaps later the podcast from Our Savior Lutheran, Port Huron, Michigan. This Sunday, August the 25th. Next Sunday, Labor Day weekend, some of you will be in town, some of you will be out of town. Remember the radio and the podcast if you might be out of town. Still worship with us. Get into that habit. Radio sponsorship, this is a collection of things. Donna Taylor had a birthday Friday, and she was celebrating big time, and people communicating with her, going out to dinner, and all these wonderful things. She's sponsoring the radio this day, our broadcast. She also has placed the flowers on the altar, and she's personally going to go out and do the lawn service. No, I think she's just sponsoring it. Okay. So we appreciate that very much, Donna. As we gather to worship this day, this is what we call service of the word, that is no communion. Next Sunday, being the first Sunday of the month, we do celebrate the Eucharist. Good news and waiting to see it happen is on Wednesday, September 11th, first confirmation class of a new year. Right now, we have standing promises that will take our pre-existing three young people up to about 8 or 9. So we hope that will all take place and people's promises or intentions will be realized, because we're looking for a bumper class. That would be fantastic. To grow in the faith as a young person. I know, course of life and ministry, parents sometimes rationalize, well, you know, 10 years old, that's pretty young for a child. And I have seen the scars of people who waited till their kids were 13 or 14, the old age, and they were so involved in the world and jobs. You couldn't get them to the church even on a Sunday, let alone a confirmation class. Better to do it younger than to think it's going to happen later when they got boyfriends, girlfriends, and all kinds of other things going on in their life, and they don't have time for their religious life, their faith life. So encourage all parents, whether you hear us on the radio or not, you want your child to receive instruction, join us. Wednesday's two-year program of confirmation. First year, this year, is going to be on the Bible. We're going to do Old Testament, New Testament, plus a little taste of what Luther's Small Catechism is. So that is Wednesdays. So I encourage you to consider that if you're listening on the radio. Our worship begins this day. And I should also put out front for the radio, there is not, in case they walk away from the radio, there is not a cookout today for our Savior. Regretfully, a change in health for Scott's brother, who's been on our prayer list these last several weeks, went kind of south rather than for the better, for the worse. So at the University of Michigan Hospital he is, and Scott will leave after service to go visit his brother. So it's serious enough that we needed to cancel the cookout. That is not an easy task. How do you get people who you don't know if they were coming, and how do you communicate to those specific ones that it's not happening? So I've used everything in our bag. We've done phone calls, phone trees, email, Facebook, Facebook Messenger, and now today on the radio for people to know. And inevitably, somebody will come up to me and call or show up at Scott's house. Right, Scott? I know. And they're going to say, I thought there was a cookout for the church today. Okay. So. Oh, what? The keys to, okay, we won't tell on the radio where they might be found. If you please rise for the confession of sin. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all of our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Seeking reconciliation with God as well as neighbor, let us remember the gift of baptism and let us confess our sin. God of mercy, we confess that we have sinned against you, against one another, and against the earth entrusted to our care. We are worried and distracted by many things, and we fail to love you above all else. We store up treasures for ourselves and turn away from our neighbors in need. Forgive us that we may live in the freedom of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. When we were laid low by sin and guilt, you made us alive together with Christ, forgiving us all of our trespasses by taking our sins to the cross. So, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Rejoice in this good news. Amen. Entrance hymn, immortal, invisible, God only wise. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Our hymn of the praise this day, we sing it one time, Surely the Presence. Put an asterisk to that hymn. In the back of your bulletin preceding the sermon outline, there's the story behind the hymn, Morning Cry, which we'll sing, as well as the story of Surely the Presence. Give you a little historical background on the hymns. We continue page 5. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you join me in the prayer of the day, we pray it together. O God, mighty and immortal, you know that we are fragile creatures surrounded by great dangers. We cannot by ourselves stand upright. Give us strength of mind and body, so that even when we suffer because of human sin, we may rise victorious through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You please be seated. We enter into this service of the Word. First reading, Bill Price.
The first reading for this Sunday is from the 58th chapter of Isaiah, verses 9 through 14. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places, and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruin shall be rebuilt, and you shall rise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride up upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with a heritage of your ancestor Jacob. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. The Psalm of the day, we'll read it responsively. I include for you the antiphon, which is the refrain at the appropriate places. The antiphon is, the Lord crowns you with mercy and steadfast love. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all God's benefits. Who forgives all of your sins, he heals all of your diseases. Who redeems your life from the grave and crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. The Lord crowns you with mercy and steadfast love. Who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like an eagle's. O Lord, you provide vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. You have made known your ways to Moses, your works to the children of Israel. You are full of compassion and mercy, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord crowns you with mercy and steadfast love. Second reading by Kay Price.
Good morning. Using images of Moses from the Old Testament, the writer presents a striking vision of the new covenant of God made possible in Christ. There is no longer fear, only awe in the new promise in Christ into which we are invited. The second reading is from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 through 29. You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that not another word be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused the one who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject the one who warns from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of what is shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks, by which we offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For indeed, our God is a consuming fire. Word of God, word of life.
If you would please stand if you're able.
We speak together the gospel acclamation. Alleluia. The crowd was rejoicing at the wonderful things that Jesus was doing. Alleluia. Gospel text for the day is Luke, the 13th chapter, beginning with the 10th verse. Glory to you, O Lord. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Just then appeared a woman with a spirit that had been crippled for 18 years. She was bent over, and she was quite unable to stand straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." And then he laid his hands on her, and immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But one of the leaders of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, inciting them, "There are 6 days on which to work can be done. Come on those days and be cured, but not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead him away to give that beast water? And ought not a daughter of Abraham, who Satan bound up for 18 long years, be set free from her bondage on the Sabbath day?" When Jesus had said all this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that Jesus was doing. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, Christ. Please be seated. Follow sermon outline or follow me into the scriptures. God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace be with us this day. Amen. There are a lot of things that God speaks to his people of word, and which is solid that you, even in a shaking, I like that second reading, which talks about the tree being shaken. It gets rid of that stuff that's ready to fall, temporal, but what is left is that which is sturdy and strong, and it will go even to eternity. And that's the things of the Spirit. Not the things of this world. That'll drop off its drosses. As Jesus would say, it's chaff. It's not the main grain. It's the outer hull that gets burned away. So too do spiritual things outdate the temporal things of this world. And yet we live in the visible world. We see things and we kind of rationalize our behavior, our adjustment to God's word, to practice. And that was the course of Israel in the days of the Northern Kingdom separation. The Northern Kingdom, Israel, they were as unfaithful as the Southern Kingdom would be, and both kingdoms will fall to outside enemies by God's permissive judgment on them for their lifestyle. So look at the first reading, if you will, bottom page 5. It says, "If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of ill, of evil." Implication being, as Isaiah speaks the word of the Lord, as if God was standing there, Isaiah is saying this to the people with the authority of God Almighty. If you would take the yoke that you have placed on yourself and your people of this nation, if you'd stop pointing fingers at them, and you know what fingers do. I like my wife's expression, you've heard it too. You point at somebody else, you got 4 fingers pointing back at you. You can find fault and you can accuse others for not doing their thing, but what about you, O Israel? How about you, we individuals before God? Rather than condemn our neighbor, look inward at our lives and behavior. And if you offer food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of afflicted, which obviously was not the practice, everybody looks out for themselves, right? They got to pull themselves up by their bootstraps, we usually say in our vernacular. But if we took compassion on those who had needs, the prophet speaks as God speaking to Israel in their conduct of public and civil affairs, then, and here's the conditional then, your light shall rise in the darkness of the sin-filled world and universe. Your gloom, your sadness, and feeling like, oh, God doesn't love us anymore, is going to be washed away. It's going to be as bright as noonday, bright sun. The Lord will guide you continually. He'll satisfy your needs even when you're thirsty in parched places. He'll make your very bones strong when they feel weak. Now, if you lived in a desert, you would appreciate the next part. You will be like a watered garden where the water is precious and spotty, and not found to be plentiful. You'll be like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins that you saw destroyed will be rebuilt. The very foundations will be there. But if you must continue, you got to stop trampling on the Sabbath. In Israel's life, like happens in America's life, and I dare say every nation of the world, God is concerned about the Sabbath. God is concerned how we conduct ourselves on the Sabbath. We have a tendency in our culture and abundance, we kind of think of the Sabbath as my day, right? And I can sleep in on my day. I can do as I please on my day. And God has said from the beginning of creation, this is God's day. You got your pronouns and your nouns misplaced. This is God's day. Revere it. Lutheran explanation of remember the Sabbath day doesn't get into the battle. Well, should that be Saturday, Sunday? At what point is the Sabbath? No. Luther goes to the heart of this. You're to fear and love God so that you do not despise his word or the teaching of it. But you will gladly hear and learn it. This is most certainly true. Part of the attitude is how we respond to the word of God. Gladly hear and learn it, or despise and forsake it. Worshiping community culturally in this nation is now under 30% on any given Sabbath. That means 70 plus people of Americans out of 100 don't honor the day for one reason or another. Could be family reasons, could be health reasons, all kinds of things. I'm sure that's why in 1938 this radio broadcast was started, to reach the homebound, to reach those who can't get here, so that they can be part of a worshiping connected church, to still be plugged into worship and to the Word of God. And we continue that tradition today. It's in that recognition of how we deal with the Word of God. When we honor God, when we take pleasure in the things that the Father in heaven takes pleasure in, then we please the Father. You go to the second reading. Paul, believed to be author of the letter of Hebrews. Now, we've been hearing it for the last 4 weeks, different cuttings, pericopes out of it. You have nothing to come. You have not come to something that can be touched. It's not a blazing fire, darkness, and gloom. It is rather a tempest, what God is bringing upon this world. There'll be a sound of a trumpet, a voice whose words made the hearers beg, not another word be spoken to them. For they have not endured the order that was given. Even an animal touches the mountain, it'll be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that even Moses said, I tremble with fear. That's the old covenant. You have come to this mountain, to the city of God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and there's a multitude of angels at this gathering. It's the assembly of the firstborn who was enrolled in heaven. become the judge of all. He's the spirits of the righteous made perfect. And it's to Jesus, the mediator of this new covenant, not like Moses, to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See, so you do not refuse what is being spoken to you by God, children of God. For if we do not escape when we've refused the one who has warned us on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject the one who warns us from heaven? At that time of his voice, he shook the earth. Now he has promised, yet one more time I'll shake it from earth and heaven. So when he says, yet one more time, he indicates the removal of what is shaken, the temporal, the worldly. It's going to be shaken out of the creation. And what is going to be left is the hard, solid things that God wants of his people and out of creation. Since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks by which we offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For indeed our God is a consuming fire. The writing of the Hebrew epistle is taking language and symbols of the Old Testament covenant right into a Jewish audience so that they could put Christ in alignment with the old to show the superior worth and value of what Christ has given us in his gift of his life. We who live under that new covenant, we don't live by laws written on tablet, but rather like Jeremiah said, the days will come when God will not write the law on your heart, on your tablets of stone. He's going to write it on your heart. So nobody can say, I don't understand it. I don't know what God wants of me, so I can't give it. Yes, you can. It's been revealed to us through our Lord Jesus the Christ. We come to the gospel text, Luke 13. Interesting story. As I was going over it this last week, each time, looking at the words. Now we have healings of Jesus when the Syrophoenician woman, that's the woman from a portion of the geography called Syrophoenicia. It wasn't a disease.
It wasn't her name.
Syrophoenician woman came up to Jesus. She was ill. She had a bleeding problem. It was a text just a few weeks ago. She pleaded with Jesus for a healing because she was not a Jew. She was a Gentile. The disciples tried to discourage her and push her away. She's making a bad scene and people are going to take us the wrong way, Jesus. Jesus said, stop it. I welcome her and I will hear her cry and I will heal her. And of course, the bickering afterwards, Jesus healing a non-Jewish person. He left the clan to choose somebody else. Yes, God does. We humans have a propensity to build circles to include and exclude people we don't like. It can happen in city government, can happen in families, it can happen in national politics where we define what's norm or the usual or what should be by what we value, right? Anybody that's different from that, oh, they're cursed. No, no, no. What's more important is what God says, not what the human condition says and defines as that's correct, that's wrong. God's scope is broader than any person's understanding. Got to get it. But what makes this woman's case different from the Syrophoenician is she didn't even ask for anything. Okay. A lot of people have a misperception of prayer where you got to bang on heaven's door to get the master to open up the door and hear my request. This should be evidence that that's not at all how God deals with us. She didn't ask. I'm sure she thought about it many times. 18 years is a long time to be crippled. And as far as bent over, I understand what that's like because I probably walk that way 70% of my walking days. And it's a peril to the person who's walking. It was a peril for this woman's social acceptance. Jesus saw her need. Jesus said, come here, let me address you. She was bold enough to at least accept the call. And I don't know that a lot of people who think they're self-made and they don't need anything, and if I did, I'd get back to you, God. That's not the ones God welcomes. God welcomes the ones who know their need, but don't make a big scene, too. So she comes forward. He touches her. He says, "Lady, you're healed." Now, there wasn't a band background. There weren't angels singing down here on earth. But the power of God was manifested in that event when Jesus says, "You are healed. Get up." And she straightened right up. God had done an intervention. Jesus, Son of God, has declared and shown by behavior the power that Christ brings to us if we seek to follow him. Then, of course, comes the bickering again, the fault finding. You find so often in the scripture presentation of Jesus, when Jesus does something good, it doesn't go without criticism. So here it comes. Oh, this insider in the midst of the gathering of God's worshipers. See, in the ancient world, in the synagogue, the men were on the first floor. Because you women and children, you're kind of secondary. So they were in that upper room around the synagogue, up in the bleachers. And Jesus is saying, this man comes in and he says, "Look, you men, don't you see what Jesus is doing? He's leading us astray from the Old Testament law, the Sabbath. He's going to get us all in trouble. Don't listen to him. He's a false prophet." And I'm sure they said many other attributes to describe our Lord. And Jesus said, "No. Let me give you a physical example, and you tell me if I'm wrong. If you have an animal on the Sabbath and has need of water, wouldn't you walk that animal over to the source of the water? Now, you would have called that work. I call that maintaining life for the animal. So, too, this woman had a need. I saw it. You didn't really care about her. Obviously, in non-Sabbath days for 18 years, you ignored her. I will pay her attention. God will pay her attention on the Sabbath. She's healed. Subject closed." When all is said and done, his opponents were put to shame. The entire crowd was rejoicing that Jesus confronted the authorities and all the wonderful things he was doing in spite of the criticism. That's the interpretation of what this being said. Understand that we, the church in today's world, if we do what's right, we're going to get criticized. No doubt about it. We don't seek to be criticized. Lord knows that. It just follows. So, you do something right, expect the backlash. And regardless, you thank God that he has guided us in this process of decision-making, course-taking in one's life. And you understand, not everybody's going to agree with us. Now, are we going to be wishy-washy? Are we going to be prophetic and lead? Or wait behind and see if others will follow? Understand, God has a mission for God's church. God's going to get it done, kind of as Luther talks about, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." He says, please understand, God's kingdom is going to come regardless of what you participate in. But we pray in this prayer that we will be part of that coming kingdom. And when we pray, "Thy will be done," do you understand? You are saying God's going to get his way regardless of what humanity says or does, the criticism that's put against God, and personally what we as Christians say God should be doing and what God's will should be. But we pray, in this prayer Luther says, that God's will shall be done among us, whatever that is. That we would have the courage to stand up to the plate and do what is pleasing to our Lord. We are the church. We're embodied by Christ to continue the ministry. It went on when the day of Pentecost took place on our calendar liturgically. It was back in May. When the Spirit was poured out upon all flesh, and they began to preach and teach and do miraculous things in the sight of the people. So much so, Luke records in the book of Acts, boy, the world is saying, they are tearing up this order of how we live in our society. They are making everything topsy-turvy, turning the world upside down because the Holy Spirit was walking with them. And they could challenge the structures, and they can challenge the life and the habits that people thought were God-given, but were not God-given. With boldness, we the church must be faithful, as Isaiah was, first reading, Paul in Hebrews speaking about a new way of living under a new covenant, not like Moses, and Jesus having the boldness to even debunk some of Moses' behaviors, to put it in the context of human life and God's will. May God help us to discern those truths and pass when we live in difficult times, no doubt about it, and have the boldness and courage to do what God wills us to do, the church. Amen. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us, remain with us always. Amen. Our hymn of the day, and the story of it is at the back of the bulletin, is Morning Cry, another one of the tunes requested. Affirming our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the triune God, we use the Apostles' Creed, page 13. Please rise. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue with our prayers. Page 14, Scott leads us.
Treasuring your promise to hear us, when we call, we pray for the church, those in need, and all your creation. Lord of mercy, we cry out for you for help, trusting in your compassion for your whole creation. Raise up the baptized to offer Christ's healing and forgiveness to all in distress. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We rejoice in your creation, water that nourishes the land and creatures, gardens and fields with a diversity of plants. Bless scientists and artists who show us new ways of understanding the complex beauty around us. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We seek the kingdom that cannot be shaken. Come to the rescue of those who are displaced by war, famine, or other disasters. Bless diplomats, peacekeepers, rescue workers, and all who are given aid through their efforts, so the peace and plenty prevail. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You provide deliverance and justice for all those who are oppressed. Free those in bondage to substances, gambling, and other forms of addiction. Release victims of human trafficking and bring them to safety. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You know our needs in this community. Heal the hurt of all bent over with sickness, aging, or suffering, especially Susan Phillips, Jill Harper, Jeff Parker's Uncle David, Jared Lucas, Lisa Slider, Carrie Harper, Lois Pike, Gary Pike, Bill Budinger, Bob McMoran, Tammy Middleton, Bev Chidster, John Sperling, Enoch Carlson, pastor of our Blue Water Conference, the family of Sly Langoff with his passing, Laurie Parker's friend, David Z, and a nephew was killed in a motorcycle accident, and Patricia May, and be with the families of Ann McCray with the passing of a nephew, and Tom Bachman with the passing of a sister. And Lord, be with those serving our nation, Corey Middleton, Tristan Morrison, Jamie Soulier, Jaron Soulier, and Rob Nolan and Faye Wright. Accompany those who visit homebound members, the hospitalized, and those who are in prison. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We raise up witness in every generation as we remember those who have passed into your peace. Before us, comfort us in the sure hope of your Son's resurrection. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. And all these things and even more, Lord, we ask in the name of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of your Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated, and we'll be receiving our gifts for the work of the Lord's church and sharing some information about what we're doing and how we're doing it. We put in the bulletin that which we've shared from the First United Methodist Church, who follows us in the broadcast hour. They're hosting and coordinating for us the community's Crop Hunger Walk. That's going to be in October, but there's a planning session and distribution of materials on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. They have informed us. So far, nobody from Our Savior has spoken to say they would be a coordinator and distributor of information and be a focal point for that special outreach. I would like to have someone, and if you can make it Tuesday, please let me know. If you can't make it, please let me know if you can serve in that capacity. It's outreach in the name of Christ in response to the issues of human hunger around this globe, including the United States. So that is before us as the people of God. As I mentioned, Donna Taylor has sponsored the radio, the flowers, and the lawn service for this week. Also, in your bulletin now, you see updates of some of the people. This last week, we did the funeral service here Monday for Sly Langoff. A member from when he was one of the little ducklings of the Langoff family walking to church from the neighborhood in which we are planted. And that has been his mainstay here at Our Savior. And we appreciate his gifts used in this ministry. We've also received this last week from one of our members who graduated, Marianne Thomas, a gift of love from her estate to this congregation's ongoing ministry. And I have thanked the family for that gift she had built into her will for her and Wayne Thomas. And we implore all people to remember their church or other benevolent agencies upon their death. The unfortunate thing is we're usually worth more dead than alive. And while you don't think you can spare it now, consider when you're gone to continue to support benevolent agencies in the community and also your local church to continue its gospel. Donna Taylor gave me a post-it note. Remind members to clean out their mailboxes in the back. And I think Donna's going through one of those things. You've got to check your mailbox or Donna's going to come back at me and we'll take attendance who did that. So if you're here today, please check your mailbox and clean it up, because there's some who just leave it accumulate for like a month or two. That doesn't allow timely things to get distributed. Many other things in your bulletin encourage you. Remember on a calendar coming that the second Sunday of October is going to be a blessing of the animals. So if you've got pets in that, focus how you're going to do that, and we would invite you to bring your pet for that Sunday's worship. Our worship continues as our gifts are presented. We sing the offertory, page 16, Create in Me. Please rise.
Blessed are you, O God, for the green earth given, for all the talents we are given to share, and for the bread and the wine. Transform us to be the body of Christ, that feasting on this food and drink, our lives may reflect your generosity. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Let us pray as our Lord has taught us, and this day we sing it, the Lord's Prayer. Your lives in Christ, rooted and built up in Him, and abound in thanksgiving. The blessing of the Holy Trinity, one God, be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen. Now, you're going to look at the next page 19 and say, what's that hymn? This is an eye test. It's a hymn that's been requested about 7 times. We're marching in the light of God. So, my choice is the printer of the bulletin is do this in 2 or 3 pages. And then people are saying, I got lost. I don't know what page we're on. Or put it on 1 page and you say, oh, I can't see that. You know the hymn. We are marching. We sing. About that hymn for those of you who didn't know what the last 3 verses were. Our edition came from a printout from the ELCA in the worship book of With One Voice. Apparently the organist received the photocopy of the EL version, a different hymnal, updated, that had the other verses in. Clash, didn't even see it coming, the railroad. So we continue with the dismissal.
Go in peace. Christ is sending you.
Thanks be to God.
Oh, like, I know that.
been listening to the Sunday morning worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church. Begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.